Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Corey.
I'm Garrett.
And we are in our third study on Thanksgiving from Philippians 1, verses 3 through 8. Paul's talking about why he is so thankful for the church at Philippi because of their involvement, their financial support of his ministry, and the way that he knows God is going to continue to work through them and with them. And in verses 7 and 8, he says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel."
Yeah, so a few reasons that he gives here in verse 7. He says, basically, this is the only reaction that I could have. It's only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. Well, why is that the case? Why does he have them, and it, you know, holds them so near and dear to his heart like he does? And he gives really these two examples of them being with him in his imprisonment and being with him in the defense and confirmation of the gospel here. So two reasons why, you know, he has them so near and dear to his heart in that way.
Yeah, I would say three things there, because they had been, they shared in his imprisonment, they shared in the defense of the gospel, and number three, the confirmation of the gospel. But yeah, that's the idea. And, you know, they're, again, partakers. It's that same word that we talked about for fellowship or whatever in the last
Participation in verse 5, yeah.
It's that koinonia word that's used in several sense in the New Testament. But three, you know, you're partakers with me of grace. Paul uses grace talking about sometimes about the grace that God has given us through Jesus that saves us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound of saving grace like me kind of grace. He also uses it to talk about his ministry as an apostle. So he's already said they've been supporters, participants in his ministry. I think that's what he's talking about here. Well, how have they been participants in your ministry? Number one, in the defense of the gospel. Number one, in the imprisonment.
Yeah.
And he had, you know, we talked about already in the introductory, this is a prison epistle, and he was there because of the next two things. But we think of prisons, I think, sometimes as like our judicial system today in America. Prisons were not that way, and they didn't have a chow line and all those.
Yeah,
you had to have people that would bring you food, or you would starve to death. That would bring you medicine and supplies, or you would, you know. He's going to talk about later on Epaphroditus and what he did while he was in prison for him, and so they were supporting him, encouraging him, helping him, praying for him, financially giving to him while he was there in prison. And so they became part of that. But the reason he was in prison was because of these next two things, the defense of the gospel and the confirmation of the gospel.
Which, by the way, you know, this book is partially proof that the gospel didn't stop just because he was in prison either. So there's a continuation of that ministry in that, and even when he was imprisoned, they're still supporting him and being partakers of that gospel and that ministry that he's being able to do. But second, in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you know, he's defending Christ in a way. This is something that you know, there's a lot of, I guess, naysayers and people that's trying to shoot down Paul and his message and Christianity as a whole. And so you know, he's defending what he believes in and defending this this gospel, this message, and that he's trying to get out there. So they're still with him and participating and helping him in his defense in that as well.
Yeah, and both of these words, the defense and the confirmation, are judicial terms in the original language. you know, the idea of explaining the gospel to others and teaching the truth again to others that have heard it to reconfirm it or whatever. But it's amazing. Like Paul's life was all about this, and the early church's life was all about this. And, you know, we tend to think we don't have time for spreading the gospel, in part because we don't plan time to spread the gospel. Right. I mean, we plan our weeks around American Idol or football games or whatever it is, you know, that we want to do. We ought to be planning our week around, you know, opportunities to share the gospel with people that haven't heard it and to teach others that have heard it to reconfirm the things that they have. And then he says in verse 8, "For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." That all of these things we'll be talking about is why he loves them so. This affection that he has for them, it's literally the term for guts. It's the, you know, some the old translations have bowels of compassion or something. Yeah. You know? It's the strongest Greek word to talk about compassionate love, meaning that I'm feeling it with the entirety of my being. He wants them to know.
You feel stuff different. You, like you feel emotions in your stomach at times.
Right.
Know?
Good and bad.
Yeah.
And, but he wants them to know before we move on to other things, that as you talked about in the last episode, I think it was about there's some tough things we got to deal with. Mm-hmm. I want you to know it's all about love. That's the only reason that I'm doing this.
Yeah, and that's going to be an important kind of foundational stone that he's laying here, because it's not, I mean, it's tough stuff that they're going to get into and be talking about this whole time. And so I think it's very important that he starts with a foundation of love that says, you know, this is coming from someone that loves you and wants you to be the best that you can be. And so, you know, again, I love you too much to let this go on. And so I want to help you. I want to help you grow and learn. But at the same time, you know, at some level, whenever you know that people you love aren't doing well, you're not doing well either, you know. And so Paul, who knows about their situation, can't feel right in his stomach, you know, about what's going on. And so, you know, it's, if you love someone that much, and Paul clearly does, then it's, you know, well, I've got to say something, you know, I've got to try and help at least. And so, you know, that may be more the emotion behind the purpose of this letter as well.
Yeah. And when we get into the next section about his prayer for the brethren, he really emphasizes the need for that love to grow that they have for each other as well. So we hope you'll join us the next time that we are together on Scripture Spotlight, where we're just looking into God's Word and trying to figure out what the message that is there for us. To be honest with the text, we're a father and son that's doing the study. We are glad you're getting to eavesdrop in on us, but it's the text that is really what we're focused on, not us or not our opinions, but what does the Bible say about things. And so we hope that you'll continue to study along with us. We hope you'll like, share, comment, subscribe, do all the things on social media and wherever you get podcasts to help make sure you get each of these, but also to let others know about Scripture Spotlight. We hope you will dedicate 5 to 10 minutes a day with us, driving to work, getting ready for school, riding the lawnmower during the daytime, relaxing in the evening, whatever it is that you're doing, that you will study along with us on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.